everyone. Welcome back to the New Era Sense podcast. This is episode 11. I'm joined by Noah and Dave. And you know what? First episode on YouTube today. And for everyone on YouTube watching, obviously this is episode 11, so you probably never watched our other episodes so far. But you can find them on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and iHeartRadio. So yeah, boys, I'm super happy to be here. And you know what? It's going to be fun recording these live now. So.
You know what the cool thing about this is? Now, instead of talking over each other, you just raise your hand.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, helps us a little bit because I think we've struggled with that in the past. So
this way it's better. Every podcast we've ever done has just turned into anarchy at some point where everybody just starts talking over each other. Yeah. And then we have no idea what's going on. We lose our train of thought, and then it takes like 5-10 minutes just to get everything back in order. It's a daily event. With the podcast crew.
Yeah, our editors were pretty busy cutting the videos and fixing it up because we'd always mess up. So now we have to make sure that everything's on point. But you know what? I think it'll go smooth. You know, couldn't be with better guys for this episode. So, you know, we'll get started. I think, you know, we talked a little bit about it last episode for weekly reports here. Me and Dave talked about. But it's the Timmy Stützle signing his entry-level deal. So a little bit about that. I know me and Dave talked about it. So, you know, what's your thoughts, Noah, on that? What was your reaction?
I had some minor doubts that he might not have played this season just for the sole fact that we kept seeing little tidbits here and there from Adler and from like from the NHL posting little things saying that like, Stützle is still mandatory. Like he still has to go back to Germany to go play a season. So that was always in the back of my mind, but I obviously was hoping the entire time that he'd get signed and, you know, here he is.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's kind of surreal because I know, you know, we weren't expecting it. I mentioned this on last episode on YouTube, but Dorion did say he didn't plan on signing Timmy until, you know, after the World Juniors. So to see it come, you know, while he's still in the middle of playing games for Germany, I was a bit surprised. But I mean, you know, we've been waiting for this moment. I think it's a huge moment for Sens fans. I don't think there's been another prospect that's so anticipated to join this team. And as a Sens fan, I don't think there's a better time for us to be cheering for this team. So what do you think, Dave?
Honestly, I think maybe the contract was initiated by Tim Stützle's camp. You know, maybe they got something worked out with Mannheim to release him. And Stützle said, you know what, let's just do it now. Because otherwise, I don't really see Dorion really coming out and bugging him to sign the contract unless, again, his own camp is one that came out and asked for it, right? Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, I'm excited to see him.
He did say he wanted to play in the NHL, right? So I'm sure he's pretty vocal about that ever since he was drafted, maybe even before. I don't know if he let Mannheim know before the season even started that that was his goal this year. Maybe that way they were, you know, more prepared for this case scenario. But I mean, anything could have happened. And I do believe that the Sens were really trying to get something done with Mannheim because they did have to release him, right? So, yeah, man, it's great news. And I mean, we're not too far off from seeing him in a Sens jersey. And I'm pretty stoked about that.
Does anybody know if the terms came out as to what Ottawa needed to do to get the contract out of Mannheim? Anybody?
I have no idea.
Yeah, I don't think it's been public.
Yeah, maybe it's not something they would share. Well, he did get some signing bonuses, right? If I'm not wrong, like 2.5 million or something.
I hear that his contract could be worth up to 10 million by the end of the entry level deal, which is pretty remarkable for a kid to be able to make 10 mil.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's signing bonus and performance bonuses.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, you have to assume that the Sens really do think that he'll come in and be an impactful player right away. I mean, he has proven it against men. So my guess would be that that was probably their mindset for Timmy. I mean, he's going to come in and right away be a very good player for them. So, I mean, I don't think they're shy about paying the kid. It's crazy to think it's that much, but to a player at his level, I mean, I think it makes sense.
I think he's probably the best or at least the most skilled offensive forward that we've had coming into the lineup since Jason Spezza.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, I mean, Brady Tkachuk is a different type of player, and Karlsson was a defenseman, so I don't really, you know, he's not a forward. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I honestly think he may be the most skilled, physically skilled player that we've had coming into this lineup since Jason Spezza, which is huge, huge for this team.
Oh yeah, we haven't had many of those, and you know the few that we had, you know, we drafted a few first overall picks throughout the years, not the best choices, I don't think. So
we got Chris Phillips out of it.
Yeah, I guess so. But we did get Daigle and whoever else that was. What was his name?
Berard.
Yeah, he didn't really do much, right?
Yeah, so we got Redden out of Berard.
Yeah, in hindsight, it's good. But I think, you know, overall drafting a player, I don't think we've drafted a highly skilled player like Stützle, or at least someone, you know, who looks to be to become a very good NHL player. Maybe, like you said, Spezza would be the last guy. So that's huge. It's been a long time coming, I think, for a lot of Sens fans, you know, guys who stuck around throughout the years to see, you know, have the Sens pick up a really good player. I'm super pumped and excited, boys. So on to the next topic. I mean, this is sort of recent news. It happened today. It was Ridly Greig signing his entry-level deal. I didn't really see this coming. I thought, you know, it would take a little bit longer, but I guess, you know, there's a plan in place for Ridly and, you know, they felt like it was the time to sign him. I don't know if he's going to opt out and play in Europe this year or whatever is going to happen with the CHL, but it's nice to see him, you know, still sign a deal with Ottawa and get something done. And, you know, what's your impressions with that, boys?
I think he's going to really impress in training camp to the sense that he's so high energy. He's just a buzzsaw out there. He goes in on forechecks and he's got enough skill to get the puck out and get the puck to the front of the net and make a good play with it. You know, I think he's going to be kind of like Alex Formanton a couple of years ago, where he makes the team seemingly out of nowhere out of training camp, plays a game or two and then gets sent back. That's probably what I think is going to happen to him.
Yeah, yeah, I definitely think he's going to end up in Europe because he needs some play time, and he's not going to end up playing in Ottawa. Like you said, Ottawa might give him a look, but Ottawa's going to want to come kicking right out of the gates. They're not going to want to. They're going to want to go to opening night with their opening lineup, and that's the end of that, right? They're not going to want to drag him on any longer. I think he's going to go in. He's going to have a good camp, and then he's going to go sign in Europe for a year somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Is he too young to play in the AHL though? I'm not sure. I think Brennan said that it has happened where a guy signs his entry level deal and gets shipped off to Europe. So I mean, that would probably be a good case scenario for him. We'll see what happens though. A lot of things could happen with the CHL and everything, right? So
well, he's in the WHL, right?
Yeah,
with Brandon. I don't think they're gonna do this, but if they go the same way as the OHL where they don't allow body checking, I don't want Ridly Greig playing in that league.
No,
that's one of Ridly Greig's biggest attributes is his body checking and his physicality. So I would rather them send him off to Europe if that's the case. Mm-hmm. I don't think it will be, but anything's possible.
Is it for sure? Is it for sure that the OHL is not doing body checking this year? Is that? Well,
I know that they're not doing it for junior, for Triple A junior and Double A junior.
Yeah. Okay.
Which, you know,
I mean, that's a big problem in my opinion. I don't think, you know, a league like the OHL should cancel out body checking. I think that's such a crucial part to a player's game and someone who's going to get drafted next year. I don't, you know, it's, he'll draft a guy who didn't body check all season, didn't play contact. Well, I mean, it's might not be the same player come around next year. Right. So
he'll show up to camp and get dummied really quick.
Yeah. What happens when Quentin Byfield skates through the middle of the ice, like Eric Lindros, and just gets like plastered in the middle of the ice.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand the move. It just boggles my mind that they're willing to do that.
So here's a cool little question. This is something that I sort of talked about with the boys yesterday. But it was a Timmy prediction. I mean, when do you think his first goal will come in the NHL? I mean, I'll just say his birthday is January 15th, and that's the start date for the Sens this year. So it is tempting to make him, to think that he'll score in his first game and on his birthday, and it's against the Leafs, right? So that would be incredible.
Hands down. It's happening his first game. Here's why. The team is going to look, and they're going to be like, he's going to be a superstar. You want to get that first one out of the way. You don't want this kid going 2-3 games in and not having scored a goal, and then all of a sudden he's just mind-effing himself. You know what I mean? So, yeah, and it's his birthday, and it's against the Leafs, and he understands what that rivalry is. I almost want to put money on it. They will make sure that Timmy scores in that first game.
Yeah.
And I'm going to call it – Dadnoff is going to be one of the assists.
All right. Add another prediction in there. Not a bad choice for sure. What do you think, Noah?
If it's not if he doesn't score in his first game, I think you're right. He'll score in his first game. I think it'll be a power play goal. But if he doesn't score in his first game, it'll take it to his third game. He's not going to score in that second one.
That's why I don't think he's going to play with Dadnoff on a regular lineup. But that's why I think he's going to be on the same power play unit as Dadnoff. And that's how he's going to score it. That's what that's exactly what I was thinking as well.
He definitely has a knack for those ugly goals. I mean, we've seen last game, he didn't really score the prettiest goals. I mean, the play was nice, but how it went in wasn't the prettiest way. So maybe he might get one like that playing with Tkachuk and Dadnov. We'll see.
How it goes in, as long as it's passing the line.
Right place, right time.
And you know what? It's a new year, right? We have new 2D jerseys. How fantastic is that? We'll get to see Timmy in that. So to see him score at home on his birthday, first game of the year, first NHL game versus the Leafs in a brand new uniform. Jesus Christ, man. I wish I could be at that game. I really wish I could be there. But
I'm sure anybody wishes they can be at that game.
Oh, yeah. That's an all-timer for sure.
Yeah.
The worst thing is no one is going to be at that game. Yeah. That's the worst thing. No one is going to be able to say, I was there to see Tim Stutzle's first NHL goal.
Not even his parents. I mean, that's such a weird experience. His parents won't even be able to witness, his first NHL game, which is such a special moment, I think, for the whole family to begin with, which is sucks for him, but should be a fun time for him regardless.
They're going to make some sort of exception. I guarantee you they're going to find a way to get his family in there.
Yeah,
it's like the NHL bubble in the playoffs, right? Mm-hmm. When you look at the Stanley Cup Finals, you looked at the press boxes, there was people up there. And all the press boxes, all family and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can quarantine a family that's not that difficult.
Yeah.
I'm sure they'll try something.
And he's been away from his family too. He's been at the World Juniors this whole time, and he's going straight to Ottawa after that. You have to assume that they'll make something work for him and his family. Maybe they come down and they quarantine for 2 weeks and they get to see him afterwards. I mean, they'd have to do that soon because the season's starting fairly quickly. But I'd love to see that happen. I just want to hop on to the next subject. So in other news, we talked about this again last episode. But the Stepan trade. This is quite interesting because I didn't really – I mean, we have heard reports – I didn't know, if to take it seriously or whatnot, but it did happen. And, I just want to ask what you guys think he brings to the team, because I did hear his interview on TSN 1200. Does seem like a very genuine guy. Does seem like he really wants to be here. So what's your impression of Derek Stepan?
I think he's been brought in as sort of an upgraded version of Anisimov, in a sense. I think, he's going to be – he's going to show how to defend as a center, which is going to be really, really nice to have guys like Tim Stutzle and Colin White and those guys picking up little nuances that Derek Stepan does. Derek Stepan is a pro. He has been a professional hockey player for a long time, and he's been a good one for a long time. So even if he's sort of on the downturn of his career, he still has a lot of valuable knowledge that he's going to be able to give to the younger guys.
Yeah.
See, I think we already got enough of, I mean, we don't have any vets that are like 30 year olds and stuff like that, but we have enough guys who are veterans already. And like guys like Dadanoff and stuff. So I honestly, I'm not a fan of the trade in a sense. I think it's just taking up a roster spot. But it just seems to me that even since that trade, Dorian's done things to just bring in more vets. Mm-hmm. So he's got to be looking. I mean, we all expected a really young team of kids, but we're getting more and more vets coming in. But yeah, I think Noah's bang on as far as what he brings to any team. He's been in NHL a long time. He knows how to be a pro on and off the ice. He's a good centerman. He is very defensive. If I'm not wrong, he's really good on the penalty kill as well. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure they're going to put him on the first or second PK unit and have Tierney head up one of the PK units, and maybe he'll head up the other one. But yeah, he's going to bring a lot to the team. I don't think he's going to pot 15, 20 goals, but you can get 10, 12 out of the guy. No problem. If he gets 15, then he's worth the $2 million.
Mm-hmm. Well, he's worth the second round pick that we gave up too, right? I mean, if he can have a good season this year, you know, the return that we gave up for him won't look so bad. I know a lot of people were sort of upset for us giving up a second rounder, but if you look at it in the sense that with the Tampa trade, we did acquire a second round pick in return, it's not so bad. You sort of look at it in the sense that Stepan was free. We still did give up the second, but I like what Dorion did there. I mean, we had three second round picks in next year's draft. We had one in 2022, basically took one out of the equation in 2021, transferred it to the 2022. Now we have two in both, which, you know what, spread out those picks. Second round picks, still very valuable. I know the 2022 draft is very, very deep and very, very talented. So I like what he did there. And I think Stepan, you know, for what we gave up for him, I think he will prove to be an important player and probably, you know, a more important presence in the locker room, which is a good thing because we have so many young guys, right?
Yeah, like I think he's going to be a valuable asset. I just wasn't a fan in a sense of it's like bringing in another Anisimov, but slightly better. So to me, if it was just a minor upgrade, it wasn't worth it. But I mean, at the end of the day, if I'm going to eat my words, I'm going to eat my words. Hopefully he comes in, he pots 20 goals, and he's a huge improvement on a guy like Anisimov. I really hope so. But mm-hmm. I just, like I said, I mean, I'm happy he's on the team. He's going to do a lot of good. I'm not going to sit there and be like, oh, no, it was the worst trade ever, because it really isn't. It's not a bad pickup by any means. I just think it's taken away from another spot. Yeah. You know, the depth chart down the middle, it's insane.
Yeah.
You know, I think that maybe Anisimov is a little bit of a harsh sentence for Stepan before even playing. Maybe a closer comparable would be someone like Chris Tierney.
He's had some really good years in his career, right? So I don't think
that's what I mean, right? Like he's scored some goals. Like he's been your prototypical second line center for probably about the last 10 years.
I think it's only the last 2 years he hasn't been over 50 points. So, I mean, that just goes to show he's capable of doing so. And you know what? The system that they were playing in Arizona, too, was more defensive. And the last 2 years, you know, they weren't really utilizing their offensive skill. Guys like Stepan, guys like Clayton Keller. That's why they weren't putting up great numbers. You know, they still did well, but they played more of a defensive style game. But you did see him in the playoffs in the bubble situation. He had a really good run. So you know what? If he can bring that to Ottawa, that's great. But moving on to the next subject, you did mention, Dave, that our center depth is quite crowded now. And you know what? We just added a new guy, Cedric Paquette. Great addition, in my opinion. But again, another guy who's going to be slotted in on the team full-time, most likely, 100%, I would say. But that's another guy. He takes, you know, a position away from one of our young guys. You know, he'll probably play on the fourth line, and I wouldn't want one of our young rookies to play on the fourth line anyway, so maybe it's a good thing. But we have, you know, a ton of centers, and I really don't know what their plan is with that. Also, you know, Braden Coburn coming in, so I just want to hear what you guys thought of that trade and, you know, what you expect to see from those new players that we got.
You know, there's a hell of a crash line that's starting to develop there for that fourth line. You know, Paquette's another big, you know, big, fast depth player. He's 6'2", 200 pounds, I think, according to Elite Prospects here. And he can skate still. And he's, you know, he's just going to be another guy that comes in like Austin Watson or like Nick Paul that's just going to forecheck you into the ground. And he's going to run you into the dirt. and he's going to just, you know, make you upset to play against him.
Well, that's the one thing I liked about Paquette and getting him was he is a big guy and he does play a very physical game and he does go into the corners and he does go into the place that people don't want to go in. He's a pain in the butt to play against.
So is Coburn.
Well, yeah, absolutely. But to me, I mean, I've liked Cedric Paquette for a long time and I've always been a fan of his. Mm-hmm. So when I read about this trade, I got really excited. But again, it's who's the writing on the wall for? So is Norris going to go back to, you know, the AHL if there's, or maybe he goes to Sweden. Does he go play mm-hmm. to Sweden for a year? What's going to happen, right? Because at the end of the day, you can write somebody off completely, a guy like Brown, like Logan Brown, and trade him. Or you can put Norris back into the system for another year to let him develop. So it's, like I said, that center position is so full. There's a lot of guys there that can play other positions, like, you know, one of the wings. But even then, when you look at the wing depth as well, we got way more than four lines there already. So what are you going to do with all those centers? That's I'm excited to see what the lines are going to look like.
For me, look, the way I see it, and it's no knock on all of our rookies, but the only guy I really see, you know, make the team as a center, I think it's Logan Brown. I think, you know, they sort of hinted at it. I think Dorion has been pressing Logan Brown for some time now. I think his agent last year made it clear that Logan really felt like he deserved to be on an NHL team. Obviously, he's since moved on from that agent, but I think the point still stands. Logan does believe he's a full-time NHL body. And I do believe that he is ready. He is big. And, you know, he's had his time in the AHL, still did really well. You plug him in with some good players this year. It could be a very good Logan Brown this year. And, you know, Norris, great player as well, but he's only had 1 year in the AHL. And as you've seen before, we've kept Drake Batherson down probably longer than we expected. You know, we even sent Thomas Chabot down. He's played some time down there. Colin White, you know, so I just based off our track history, I think they'll be patient. I don't think this year with the Canadian division, I think they know it's not going to be a winning year. I don't think they're going to try to win it. I mean, they're set up to, but I think they believe that this year is not the year to fully push for a contending position. So may as well let those guys develop and, you know, incorporate them on the taxi squad whenever you get the chance. So you know what? I think, you know, a lot of these guys that we have this year as well aren't going to be on the team come in 2022. Like you look at Galchenyuk, maybe he gets shipped off at the trade deadline. Maybe another case for Cedric Paquette again. I think a lot of guys, like the team is going to change a whole lot after this season. So I don't know. We got things to look forward to.
Did they narrow down when trade deadline is going to be yet?
I have no idea. I have to give it a look.
Because I mean, usually you would have heard something by now, but we haven't heard anything yet. Not that I'm aware of, at least. But yeah, I mean, I think a lot of these guys are going to be gone at the trade deadline. I hope a lot of these guys are gone by the trade deadline, to be honest.
So it says April 12th trade deadline, and okay, regular season ends May 8th, and the latest playoffs could go up to July. So,
okay. That's not too bad then. That's not too bad.
Not too bad. No. Well, it depends with the virus and, you know, how things go. But I mean, I think they set up a good year this year, 56 games. I mean, it'll be cool to see Canadian division. It's a little different. We might never, ever see it again, right? So may as well, you know, embrace it. Well, yeah, exactly. It'll be pretty cool, though. I really hope to see some really cool rivalries. I know we talked about that before. But to start off the season against the Leafs, I mean, hell yeah, baby. Let's bring it on.
Let's get a 5-goal game from Stutzel with a win.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that'd be amazing.
Well, he has a 4-goal game and he autographs Anderson's goal stick saying 2020 was bad for FOUR everyone.
Drop the mic.
Drop the mic. Rock
away. Drop the pen.
And, you know, it's also too bad. I was thinking about this today, but with Andy, you know, getting a tryout with Washington and, you know, potentially having it be his last year, we don't really get the farewell for Anderson and with the crowd in Ottawa, which I think is unfortunate because I think he does deserve that. You know, considering how close the community was with his situation and his wife Nicole, I think it meant a lot for everyone in Ottawa, and I think we were all there to support him. And you know, he's treated us so well. So it is unfortunate we don't get to have that this year, which you know, I sort of wish we had the chance to.
They will bring him back to retire as a Senator. They will give him that 1-day contract like they did with Alfie. They have to. Andy was nothing but a class act in Ottawa. His family, like his wife. I mean, at the end of the day, to me, he's almost more deserving of that retirement 1-day contract than Alfie was. Like, Alfie was a career Senator, and he got it because of that and because he's so loved in the city. But Andy's best and worst happened in Ottawa in his life, right? And I'm sure Alfie too, but it's the worst things that you can ever imagine happen to a man with this organization, and his wife sent him back into the bullpen with the boys to play. Mm-hmm. Like, that is commitment from him and his wife to the team, to the organization. I honestly think they're going to give him a Ring of Honor, and I think they're going to sign him to that 1-day contract to retire him.
Yeah, and you know what? I was looking at the Caps comments on their post saying that they did invite Andy for a tryout. You know, it's unfortunate. It is social media, but I did see a lot of negative comments. I was, you know, not happy to see that because I don't think a lot of fan bases realize what Andy meant to us and what kind of, you know, player, and most importantly, what kind of character he is. And, you know, I just hope that, you know, the Caps really notice that and how valuable that is, not only to the organization, but to the fan base. You know, even for their young goalie, Ilya Samsonov, I think that's a great opportunity for Andy to, you know, mentor a young guy coming into the league. And you know what? I just hope that people start, you know, acknowledging what kind of guy he is, and really start appreciating him more.
I think they're going to learn. I think people are going to learn pretty quickly that when he's not taking on 40, 45 shots a game, he's pretty good. He's a pretty good goalie.
Yeah, still at 39. He's still very good.
Yeah, his shots against per game was so high, it's ridiculous. But if you put him in a backup position to mentor, where you give him maybe out of the 56 games, you give him, we'll say 18, 20, then he's going to come out smelling like flowers. And at the end of the day, that's the bad thing, right? Like, Andy means the world to us, but to another organization, they look at his stats and they just go, who's this guy? Yeah. But it's weird. They didn't feel like that about having Lundqvist. Like, Lundqvist has been on a decline for a while too now, for like 2 seasons. Mm-hmm. But everybody was so excited. And I think it's a name thing. Everybody knows who Lundqvist is. But Anderson isn't a household name. So Washington's like, who? Why?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Not many people. I don't think Andy is very, you know, he's not outspoken. He doesn't put himself out there very much. He's very low key, I think, for a lot of people. He's just that goalie who's been backing up the Sens these whole years, right? So people don't really think much of it. But
about backing up the Sens,
and the sound of the King of Ottawa, it just doesn't have the same ring as the King of New York, right?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And you know what? Just going back to another farewell, sort of to a lesser extent, saying goodbye to Anders Nilsson and obviously Marian Gaborik and his, 17 games, his stint here in Ottawa. But I think Nilsson as well, he's another guy, you know, sort of unfortunate what happened with him last year. He was very good for us when he did come to Ottawa, and I think he's a fantastic guy. So it is unfortunate to see him go. Probably won't play this year. I think it was confirmed. So just want to say, you know, best thoughts to him. And you know what? We suffered, I think, a huge loss in Ottawa today. It's not a player. It's, you know, it's Haley Salvian. She's leaving the Athletic in Ottawa to go represent them in Calgary. That was huge. I think I saw a few tweets out there saying this hurts as bad as Erik Karlsson leaving us. And, you know, I think that just goes to show the extent of Haley's professionalism here in Ottawa and, you know, what she did for us. Very, very talented and, you know, bringing diversity, I think we all needed. And she was great. And it's going to suck leading, I think, you know, my favorite writer to take a look at. But I wish her the best in Calgary. And, you know, what do you guys think?
So for me, touching back on Nilsson, just to start with Nilsson, sorry. He came into Ottawa with no expectations. When he got traded, he was in Ottawa, set to play for Vancouver.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, it was the craziest thing, right? And when he came in Ottawa, there wasn't much expectation. It was just another backup to kind of just plug in a position. But he really did play really, really, really well for a backup who essentially became the starter towards the end after Andy's injury. Yeah, and you know, so at the end of the day, I mean, he wasn't here for a long time, but he was here for a good time, right? As for Gabrick, I remember playing NHL back on the original Xbox, and I'd always go trade for Gabrick because he was always one of my favorite players, right? So when he got traded to Ottawa, you're like, you hope he played at least 10, 15 games. So I got to see Gabrick play in a sense sweater. So to me, that was a huge thing because, like I said, I wasn't a Gabrick fan, right?
It's so weird. There's so many players that I can remember that you never remember that they were on the center. Like Scott Gomez, remember him? He was a senator for a little bit at the end of his career.
Yeah, there's a lot of guys that played for Ottawa at one point or another.
Yeah, I just don't remember that.
Like, I think it was Jason Arnott. Most people don't remember he played for Ottawa.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, yeah. Matt Cullen did too. I mean,
yeah.
Some names have come and gone in Ottawa.
Karkner. Karkner was a
good one.
I loved Karkner.
He was a beast.
He was a monster. I love that guy.
Chris Campoli.
Yeah, oh, man. Chris Campoli. And then as for Haley, she came to Ottawa and quickly won a lot of hearts over. She came in as the new person, and it's hard enough as for a woman in the business, you know, to be respected and to be taken serious. But to come into a Canadian NHL market, it was even harder, I'm assuming. But she did it really quick. She's knowledgeable. She's well-spoken. She's well-liked. Honestly, Calgary's lucky to have her. And Calgary being my 1B team, I'm excited. I'm excited because I'll be able to try and talk Flames hockey with her, right? I love the Flames as well. So
keep tabs. There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah. Any thoughts, Noah?
Yeah, you know, she was unbelievable for the community. She's probably one of the best writers that we've had here for a long time as a beat writer in Ottawa. And you know, it's just sad to see her go. But you hope for the best in Calgary. I know that they've got a hell of a fan base out there. Let's hope they treat her a little bit better than we did.
Yeah. So this is sort of one of the last topics I just wanted to mention, but so a few games have gone by in the World Juniors. I know we've all watched, we've paid close attention to Germany. Yeah, exactly.
Russia playing Austria right now. I got it on the TV right up here. So if I'm looking away, that's why.
It is what it is. I think, you know, especially now with the lockdown in Ottawa, we don't have much to do. So we'll watch every game we can. So I just want to hear, you know, your impressions on some teams and who you think, you know, is a standout player for you. It doesn't need to be a sense prospect, just someone you're really impressed with and, you know, who you think, you know, the Sens should even pick up if they get the chance, if they're undrafted.
You know, one guy, this guy isn't a Sens pick, and I don't think he's a pick of anyone for that matter, but Florian Elias has been the go-to guy for Germany. You know, he's the line mate with Stutzel and Paterka there, and he's the guy he's like the little buzzsaw. He's getting to the net, he's doing everything that he can to get in front, get, you know, shots through, and he's getting points. He's got six in three games. That's pretty good.
Yeah, I knew you'd mention that too because
I'm loving this kid.
You literally took my answer. I was gonna say the same thing, but I'm gonna steer away from that. Then I'm gonna go with Klevin. He is a Senators prospect. He is a healthy scratch. Now he's not impressing to a point where he's a superstar and he stands out in the entire tournament. But I think as far as expectations for his game. He's surpassed what most of us expected, you know, he would look like, and he's been very physical. He's been, we talked about this the other day on the YouTube channel, but you notice him when he's on the ice. As far as teams that I'm impressed with the most, it's Germany. And it's not because of the Stutzel thing. It's because they won a game with the team they have. I honestly did not think they were going to win a game. So, they never tap out. it reminds me a lot of the Senators towards the end of the season, where there was no such thing as I'm just done. They keep coming. They keep fighting to the last buzzer, man. And I love seeing that on any hockey team. I don't care if you're first place or last place. You need to fight to the last buzzer, and that's what Germany's been doing.
You know what's the catalyst of that is the captain, mm-hmm. who is Tim Stützle. Yeah. So, you know, that just plays into it.
Good points. I think we all agree with that. You know what? I'll throw a sort of a curveball, but I don't think it should be a curveball because I think a lot of people are impressed with this guy. You know, he has a name we have to watch and keep a tab on because Brad Lambert is a heck of a player. And I think we've all paid attention and seen him. You know what? He's still 16 or just turned 17. Eligible until, 2 years from now. Great player. I mean, he's been fantastic. I think he did like an end-to-end and almost, you know, dangled the goalie in his second game. But you look at a team like Finland, they have some really talented guys, but Brad Lambert is one of those younger players, and he looks like a very mature player out there. Someone who handles the play very professionally, very smoothly. I think, you know, Sen fans should at least keep a tab on him, because if he's available whenever we draft in 2022, I would place my bet on him. But I think he's going pretty high in that draft, right?
He actually reminds me a little bit of Patterson, the way Elias Patterson plays in Vancouver. He's smooth. He's a really good skater. He dangles. He's got really good vision on the ice. That's my best comparison. And, yeah, he's going to go really high in the 2022 draft.
Yeah. No doubt. I think we got Shane Wright, Matt Savoy, and Brad Lambert, right? So they call it the three-headed snake draft, and it's not a joke. I mean, it's going to be pretty intense. Might go down as one of the best.
So. It's unfortunate because I think at that point, that's just when Ottawa is going to start to be getting
better. I was about to say that too.
So that's right at that point is where I think we're going to be picking like about 10th. Or like around 10 to 15 in that range. Mm-hmm. If that draft.
But draft lottery odds, man, we can hope for the best.
You never know. I mean, we've seen some tremendous risers in the past couple of years. I think every single draft lottery that we've had.
The Rangers just got first overall.
Yeah. Like the Hawks last year got third. And what were they, like ninth, 10th? Like even further down, like.
Yeah.
New Jersey, when they won Hughes, was ninth.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you know what? Maybe we'll be in ninth and then we'll win the lottery.
It would only be fitting.
It has to be in 2 years. We have to win the Stanley Cup this year.
Does anybody say, and I know that due to circumstances, we always say, no, you don't want to put an asterisk on anybody's win. They won. But this year, do you feel like there'd be an asterisk on the Stanley Cup winning team? Because they got to where they get to at the end, but without playing some of the teams ever.
I feel like I feel like it's unfair to say, but I feel like an asterisk can only be put beside certain teams. And I feel like that's really, really unfair to say because, you know, like you said, you know, they made it to the final. They won. Right. But I think if you look at the finals matchup and hypothetically, let's say the finals is Arizona and like the Islanders. I don't think anybody is going to consider that a legitimate year if those are your final two. You know what I mean? So, like, yes and no. There may be a asterisk put beside it. But, like, I don't think anybody's putting an asterisk beside it.
Like, my thing is, if Toronto, for example, doesn't have to play Boston and they win the Stanley Cup, there should be an asterisk, right? Because they're from Boston. How's that fair? How's that even fair? But no, honestly, though, it's tough because, say, even if it was Montreal, Ottawa, Vancouver, Edmonton, Calgary, doesn't matter. They never have to play Vegas. They don't have to play the St. Louis. They don't have to play the Rangers, right? Yeah. And at best, you play them in the playoffs. Mm. So 56 games, man, if you come out on top of your division, to me, I don't care who really wins it. I feel like just a bit of an asterisk to it, but at the end of the day, you are still competitive. You're still pro athletes. You still pound the ground with everybody else, you know, and all that stuff. I just feel like again, to me, if I'm going to win the cup, I want to win by beating the best of the best. And if, for example, everybody knows, like, you can have a certain style team play another team and they'll win 5 out of the 7 games, right? Or 4 out of the 7 games, whatever. But then if they play this other lesser team who's more defensive, they may have lost, right? Different styles can play better against different teams.
And so, I think, you know what? Oh, go ahead, Noah.
I was just going to briefly say, you know, I think technically there's going to be an asterisk beside whoever wins regardless. Mm-hmm. Just because, like, think about when you talk about the Blackhawks winning in 2013, you still put an asterisk beside that because it was the lockout year. Mm. So, you know, to the fault of nobody, there still is an asterisk there because it was the lockout year.
Yeah.
But I think it's like it's not one that's going to be recognized by like NHL officials or whatever. It'll be a completely fan driven. Oh, you didn't win because you won because you're COVID. That's what it's going to be.
And you know what? Also, they it's well known that the Stanley Cup is the hardest cup to win. But is it now with a 56 game season? And, you know, I don't know, because you have to go through 82 games. Yeah, you got to go through 82 games usually, and, you know, 4 rounds to win that cup.
Right. But baseball only did a 60 game season. That's nothing compared to what they usually do.
But everyone played each other, right? That's difference. If it was 56 games and everybody played each other, it would be different. It'd be a smaller sample size of games, but again, competition level will be the same.
Yeah,
you won't see, like I said, like the Oilers play against an American team this year. So again, at the end of the day, I don't want to take away from anybody who does win it. God, I really hope Otto doesn't win it this year now, just because of all the crap I just said. But
can I just say that I've always loved that about the NHL, MLB, and NBA is that every year you get to play every team. I know it's pretty much statistically impossible for football to be able to do that, but it does still feel like there is that gap where you don't know, you know, if there is a team that could have beaten a, you know, 15-1 team.
Right. At the end of the day, a team that is fourth in their division this season would maybe be first in the North Division or a different division, right?
Right.
But they won't make the playoffs because they had a really strong division. And that's what bothers me is just you don't get some of those matchups that you like I said, you want to make sure you have the best of the best winning the cup.
Yeah, no, it's going to be a weird year. I don't know what to really expect, but I'm still very excited. And I think, you know, we could have some really cool, even shocking moments this year. I mean, we could see a team that we expect to be really good be put in a situation where they don't necessarily succeed because of the teams that they're playing. And that's just, you know, how it's going to go.
I'll call it right now. Tampa doesn't make it.
Mm.
Or not Tampa, sorry, Pittsburgh. Wow, I am.
Stutzla gets to call the trophy.
Bold prediction.
Tampa's definitely making it. Pittsburgh doesn't make it. That's my bold prediction.
Carlson gets the Norris. He has a bounce back and gets the Norris.
I think that's a good one.
Awesome. Let's see it. Let's see it happen. Just before we go, we did talk about the 2022 draft. So obviously, we have the 2021 draft coming. We should, you know, maybe get lucky if we don't finish too good in the North Division. So, I mean, that's another high-end pick we could add with Stützle this year. You know, imagine that. We roll into the 2022 season with, let's say, I don't know, a guy like Owen Power with Jake Sanderson and Tim Stützle. Hey, dude, try telling that to a guy in the post-2017 playoffs that we drafted a 3rd, 5th overall and the 1st overall the next year. I mean, that would be insane. Just to mention the 2023 draft, that's what we're really missing out on here, boys. The projected 1 and 2 is Matvei Michkov from Russia and Connor Bedard from Canada. Supposedly the next coming of Ovi and Crosby, two very comparable, very competitive guys. They both have very good cases to go number one overall, and both cited as generational players. And guys will probably miss on. So I hope the Leafs don't get those guys. Definitely.
Oh, and I think the Leafs will be fine for the next couple of seasons. So when is their first big boy contract up? I think that's Matthews in 3 years. Mm. They've got another four. Yeah, like they've got another 3-4 years before they're really, panicking. Really in trouble.
Think he signs in Arizona?
Yeah,
I think him and McDavid both go to Arizona.
Create a super team.
That'd be crazy.
Miami Heat, but in NHL.
Exactly. We see it in other sports, NBA, you know, more prominently.
But even now,
it's different, but
it's a lot easier. It's a lot easier when you only have a total of 12 guys on your roster as opposed to a total of 22.
And their cap situation is different. Yeah. Right?
You can pay you can't pay a guy $24 million to win games.
And yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, first off, Nick, I'm really impressed that you went and looked into the 2023 draft. That's I won't even lie to you. I know nothing about that draft. I've done zero homework. I don't know anybody's name. I know nothing about it. So
those are the two big ones. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll just say right now, the guy what to look out for is Wagon Hockey. They give out a lot of good content for the up and coming rookies. They're always posting videos and highlights of these guys. They do excellent scout reports, analysis on these guys. So you know what? I think you should check that out because they've been pretty spot on with some coverage of some guys throughout the years. I think they're fairly new, but that doesn't change the point. They're very committed to scouting these guys, and these guys are legit. Wagon Hockey for whoever that wants to take a look. I mean, I really recommend listening to those guys. That's what I really use for my prospect rankings and stuff.
I'm going to go check them out. Wagon Hockey, free shout out.
For sure. Free shout out. Not a paid promotion, but you know what? We'll support these guys all day. All right. Well, I think, you know what? We should probably wrap it up anyway. I think we touched on pretty much everything this week. It's sort of been a weird week. I think we went from having like almost no news, then the World Junior starting, and then boom, boom, trade, get Timmy signed, and the season's starting next week, or in 2 weeks, sorry. So, hell yeah, man. I'm super excited, and I just want to thank everybody for listening. For whoever that doesn't, have Spotify or whatnot, you can check us out on YouTube. That's probably where you're watching us right now. But we are on iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. And we do post on Twitter, Instagram regularly. So take a look at that, and we'll stay tuned. Thank you for joining us.